take your Bibles and turn to the book of Hebrews, if you would. Book of Hebrews chapter 4. And if you're able, would you stand with me in the reading of just a few verses, and then we'll be seated once again. Hebrews chapter 4. In verse 1, it says, "Let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them, but the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. For we which have believed do enter into rest, as he saith, as I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world." You're used to me preaching unusual messages. It's going to get worse as I get older. This isn't a normal message this morning, but God told me that I need to preach it. I'm a preacher. God called me to do that in 1977. I put together sermons of the Word of God so people can understand and know the Bible and then know the Lord as well. But over and over again, I get the feeling that I'm preaching to people where it's a wasted sermon. The name this morning, Wasted Sermons. Heavenly Father, I pray to my bless as I continue to have to rely on you, put all of my spiritual weight on you, wait for you, Lord, to put the words into my mouth that they may profit those that listen. Bless in the preaching, in Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. What's it say there in Hebrews chapter 4? Call your attention to verse 2, huh? He says, the word preached did not profit them. Is the word of God, when it's preached to you, profit you, or is it a wasted sermon? Obviously, in the Bible, he said there was wasted sermon. It's a sad thing, isn't it? That the Word of God, when it goes forth, it's going to do something, but it may not profit you. When the Word of God goes forth, you can take it all kinds of different ways. And God uses that over and over again. A sermon is supposed to be profitable to those that hear the sermon. It's what a sermon's supposed to do. Go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. Verse 13. Paul also wrote to this church, and he said, "For this cause also thank we God, without ceasing, because when ye received the word of God which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. This church heard Paul as he gave them the word of God, and they didn't get the idea, well, Paul, that's your opinion. I don't like this, that, and everything else. They realized that what they were hearing was the word of God, because that is what worked in them effectually within their life. Go to Colossians chapter 1. Just to your left a few pages. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 28. He said, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus, whereunto I also labor, striving according to his working, which worketh in me mightily. So preaching is supposed to have warning in it, it says in verse 28. Need to understand that when I do preach, and sometimes it's more to the teaching side, many times it's the preaching side, that you not know that, oh, well, he just hates me because he says this, that, and everything else. When the real truth is, I love you and I'm trying to warn you within your life. Heed the warning. Heed the warning. Go to 2 Timothy chapter 4, please. Second Timothy chapter 4. It tells you in verse 2, preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears. You're supposed to be preaching of the word as well as teaching. But he says in the last days they aren't going to endure that. They want to heap to themselves teachers. There's a difference between preaching and teaching, for sure. But the kind of sermon is supposed to be one of rebuke, exhorting you in the right things, and reproving you of the bad things. And he says to Timothy, as he's a young preacher, he says, you have long suffering, you don't quit. And you keep your doctrine straight. Doctrine is the beliefs that you have. Paul taught him those beliefs. He preached to him. And they came out good in Timothy's life. Praise God for that. Go to Romans chapter 10, please. Romans chapter 10. And in verse 8. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth, or verse 8, what is it? The word is nigh thee even in thy mouth and in thy heart, that is the word of faith which we preach. He's saying in his preaching, Paul does to the Romans, he says that not only even in thy mouth, but in thine heart, that is the word of faith. Mm-hmm. Preaching is supposed to bring about faith within your life. If you don't hear the word of God and have more faith, it's a wasted sermon that you heard. I pray to God that you're paying attention today so there isn't a wasted sermon within your life. Go to Psalm chapter 40. The book of Psalm chapter 40 and verse 9. David said, I have preached righteousness in the great congregation. Lo, I have not refrained my lips. O Lord, thou knowest. I have not hid thy righteousness within my heart. I have declared thy faithfulness and thy salvation. I have not concealed thy loving kindness and thy truth from the great congregation. Amen. It's supposed to be continued. It's supposed to be unveiled. It's supposed to be explained. It's supposed to be preached. No matter if there's two or three gathered in his name, there he is. Wouldn't it be a blessing if the two or three didn't waste the sermon? Titus chapter 1, please. Just before Hebrews, you come to this old-fashioned church, you're going to wear out your Bible, brother. We like to look at it in black and white. We like to see what God said. Titus chapter 1 and verse 3. It says, but hath in due times manifested his word through preaching, which is committed unto me according to the commandment of God, our Savior. That's a good verse also, where it says God, our Savior. Some people don't believe that Jesus Christ, our Savior, is God, but it tells you very plainly in many verses, but there's one right there. Jesus, our Savior, is God. Huh? Am I wasting my breath preaching a sermon to you because it doesn't profit you? You put it aside. You see, I know how Satan works within your mind and your heart. Some are for me when I preach, some against me when I preach. Some others just don't care at all. I'd like to talk about some things how you can waste a sermon. When a sermon is wasted, certainly I don't want that to happen. But let's look at Hebrews chapter 10, right there in Hebrews. A verse that all of us know very well, I'm sure. I always encourage you to take your pen and outline these verses in your Bible. It's important that you know them. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. So my first thought is, It's going to be a wasted sermon if you're not even there to hear it. Amen? You got to be a thumbboat. I can preach to one or two or three, but it's wasted to everybody else because they weren't here to hear it. Boy, we need to take the church and the preaching that goes on to heart. Don't waste a sermon. I mean, it goes right back to the Old Testament. Deuteronomy 12:5, but unto the place which the Lord your God shall choose out of all your tribes to put his name there, even unto his habitation shall ye seek, and thither thou shalt come. He had a place where they would come and hear the word of God. Psalm 84:4 says, blessed are they that dwell in thy house. They will be still praising thee, Selah. Isaiah 37:1 says, and it came to pass when King Hezekiah heard it that he rent his clothes and covered himself with sackcloth and went into the house of the Lord. On and on, I can give you verse after verse. From the Old Testament, from the New Testament. It's in the house of God that the sermon comes forth. If you're not here to hear it, it's a wasted sermon. That time, that energy, that prayer, that thought. Randy knows. I've had him preach for me. I don't know how many times over the years, 7 times, 8 times, something like that. Take some thought, take some prayer, take some work. You got to put it aside to bring forth a sermon. So that's the first thing, is that you even got to be there to do it. Some kind of give up. Give up on the church. Give up on the Lord. Give up on the Bible. And prayer meeting. And everything else. I love the story about the old farmer whose mule fell into the well. After many unsuccessful attempts to haul the mule out of the hole, the farmer decided it was hopeless. So with sadness, he instructed his boys to fill up several truckloads of dirt to just bury the old mule in there in the well. The boys backed up the truck filled with dirt, shoveled in the dirt, and began to fill the well. The mule didn't take it kindly, though. The first shovel of dirt hit him squarely on the head, got in his eyes and his mouth, and made him sneeze. Every shovel fell after that hit him somewhere, causing the old mule to stomp around in the bottom of the well. Several truckloads of dirt later, the mule was still stomping and packing dirt firmly under his feet. Little by little, that mule was lifting himself out of the hole. Sure enough, about mid-afternoon, the mule simply stepped out of the well and snorted at the whole business. Some people just give up. It's impossible for me to get out of this hole or that hole. There's a lot of holes you can fall in this old world, I'll guarantee it. And people will heap a lot of dirt on you, too. You just keep on stomping. Amen. You keep faithful to the Lord. You keep on having the faith. Keep on living for Him. Don't waste a sermon. It says in Proverbs 18:9, he also that is slothful in his work is brother to him that is a great waster. God doesn't like us to waste things. Waste food, waste time, waste energy, or waste sermons. He says, he that is slothful, he's talking about laziness. That's my first point. There's those that'll sleep through the sermon. Now, I'm not talking about anybody that has a medical condition or a reason for that. I've had lots of folks through my 44 years of preaching that have slept. Usually I'm loud enough to keep everybody up, but they manage it, no doubt about that. God doesn't like wasting, says in Luke 15:13, and not many days after the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. Don't waste the sermon. Look at Proverbs chapter 20, please. Book of Proverbs chapter 20. Of course, we're going to go late because we had a guest preacher this morning, and anytime I do have a bad sermon like today, I love to blame it on somebody else. Amen. So that's how that worked. Proverbs chapter 20 and in verse 13 says, "Love not sleep, lest thou come to poverty. Open thine eyes, and thou shalt be satisfied with bread." Amen. How can you waste a sermon? Sleep through it. Why are you sleepy? You probably stayed up late last night. You even got an extra hour of sleep last night. Don't know if it helps you or not. Yeah, staying up, you wouldn't believe how many Christians stay up and watch TV the midnight, or get on the internet and waste their time on that till 2 a.m, whatever. Then they can't get up for Sunday school, church like they're supposed to. Be a God's house, be a good example to others, that they are where they're supposed to be at the time they're supposed to be there. And praise the Lord for James down here. He beat everybody this morning. Amen. He and Kirsten, they were here about 20 minutes early. Then Jane came in, and her mother, and then Betty came in. So forth, at 1:45. Amen. I just preached a sermon on respect, didn't I? Amen. Yeah. Yeah, Brittany. Boy, Brittany was here at 1:45. Amen. God changing her life around. Amen. She ain't wanting to waste no sermon. Amen. So that's the first thing. These are how you can waste a sermon. Just sleep through it. Now, this sermon is going to be wasted to you if you hear my voice and you don't change your life. If you keep on doing the same things to make you late or to sleep through a sermon, it's a wasted sermon, this is to you. The second thing, how you can waste a sermon, your thoughts. Your mind is tired. You've been hassled all week. You got stress. Or maybe you're a sports nut or something, and boy, you're into that, and boy, you got to find out what the latest thing is about every player and all the rest going on. It's a shame that Christians cannot or will not memorize the Word of God, the books of the Bible, or anything else. But boy, they can tell you every statistic about every football player out there. It's not that they can't do it. They're wasting the Word of God. They're wasting sermons. They come to God's house and their mind is tired for everything that they've allowed. The third thing, Proverbs chapter 15, please. Book of Proverbs chapter 15. And in verse 21, it says, folly is joy to him that is destitute of wisdom, but a man of understanding walketh uprightly. You don't get wisdom. Put other things before the Lord, even in the services. Now, I'm not just talking about our church. I'm talking in general about every church and every preacher. Every preacher goes through these same things. And his sermons are wasted because of these things that I'm going over with. They play around in the services. Some people in some churches, they have their cell phones. And they're actually texting one another while the preaching's going on within the church. Especially the mega churches and everything else, you know, where the Word of God seems to be the Lord, the last thing that's important to them. They say they're preaching the Word and they don't even have a King James. They don't even know what the Word of God is. How can you preach the Word of God when you don't even know what it is? That's the kind of world we're living in today, brother. Those cell phones, brother, you better watch out. That's a wild animal. Amen. They're evil.
Yes, they are.
It's true.
Yep. You better cage that thing up. Praise the Lord for the convenience that it is. Use it for that convenience and only that. Getting on the phone and gossiping and lying and conniving and deceiving and everything else that goes on over that. That's why we always have it that people turn off their cell phones before they come to the services here. Brother, I got enough fighting the devil trying to get the truth out. I don't need to be fighting against your cell phone and your attention for that. So that the sermon isn't wasted in your life. That's exactly is what is going to happen. Go to 1 John chapter 2, please. 1 John chapter 2. First John chapter 2. Way in the back of the Bible. First John chapter 2 and in verse 15, we know that verse well as well, but maybe you didn't take it the right way. It says in verse 15, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. You caught up in the world? What that mean? It says the things that are in the world. What's preoccupied within your life, within your thoughts, within your time? Are they things of the world, the events that go on in the world? Is there something else more important on the Lord's day to do that's worldly, rather than coming to the house of God, sitting up, paying attention, understanding that God can work within your life and change your life around? You're loving the world, brother. I'm all for doing all kinds of different things and enjoying. I'm not against sports or anything else. Still love the Buffalo Bills. But I'm not going to miss a service because of it. That's for sure. Lord comes first in our life. That's the way we've always had it. It's always the way that we want it. So take that stuff for the truth that I want to get over to you. The fifth thing. Bitterness. Some people waste a sermon because of bitterness. Oh, they'll come to the service and sit under the sermon, but it's in one ear and out the other. They got bitterness in their heart that they will not forgive. And it's a wasted sermon to them. Ephesians 4:31 says, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Yeah, the problem's forgiveness. I've known plenty of people down through the years with that same thing. Hoping for a change within their life and so forth, but that bitterness is down so deep in their heart, they're corrupted to the heart. With that, no forgiveness. They've heard the Bible over and over and over again. It's a wasted sermon to them. The sixth way to have a wasted sermon is not to concentrate. Doesn't the Bible say, let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus? You come, and if you're not sleeping through a sermon, you're definitely not concentrating. It's amazing the way God worked within my life. It has nothing to do with me. I'm not bragging on me. I'm bragging on God. But he took this old drunk, this old sinner, saved him by his grace. Brother, I started going to church right off the bat. Put away the smoking, the drinking, the cursing, and everything else. God changed my life around, and I come to the services, and we had a larger church that I was attending at that time. And the Bible was all new to me. I thought the epistles were the wives of the apostles. I didn't know what an epistle was. Amen. I was dumb as an old farmhand coming out of the field. But brother, I come down and I get about four rows back in that huge church, and brother, the pastor would start preaching, and I would start concentrating, brother. I didn't miss a word he said. After a sermon of 45 minutes or so, I had a headache. Truly. I would go home from the service having a headache week after week after week because I didn't want to miss one thing he said. I knew God was speaking through that man. I didn't want to miss anything God would have for me. Brother, I got excited about the things of God when I started to comprehend because I was concentrating. The pastor was wise enough not to have anything that would take away your concentration too. Babies crying, people getting up in the service and going to the bathroom and back and forth. You had a parade in a lot of these churches and so forth, you know. You don't need things that are going to interfere with the concentration that you should have. You're going to waste the sermon. It won't profit you. You won't get excited. A good Presbyterian minister, and this is when Presbyterians used to preach the word. Good Presbyterian minister, an old Scotman of the staid Orthodox type, had a poor old woman in his congregation who was in the habit of saying, "Praise the Lord, amen," when anything particular helpful was said. This practice greatly disturbed the minister. In one New Year's Day, he went to see her. He said, "Betty," he said, "I will make a bargain with you. If you call out 'Praise the Lord' just when I get to the best part of my sermon, it upsets my thoughts. Now, if you will stop doing it all this year, I will give you a pair of wool blankets." Betty was poor, and the offer of the blankets sounded good to her, so she did her best to earn them. Sunday after Sunday, she kept quiet. But one day, the minister came to preach, who was bubbling over with joy as he preached on the forgiveness of sin and the blessings that follow. The vision of the blankets began to fade and fade, and the joys of salvation grew brighter and brighter. At last, Betty couldn't stand it no longer, and jumping up, she said, "Blankets or no blankets, hallelujah!" Amen. Don't waste a sermon. Get excited about the Lord. Don't you waste it. God has something for you in every sermon, even this kind of a sermon. Amen. The seventh thing, I've only got 20 to go through. I'm just kidding. The seventh thing is, some people come to the service and they think they're too spiritual. Hey, sit down and fold their arms. Yeah, go ahead and tell me something. That attitude. I've had those kind too, you know. They don't come to listen. They don't come to get something from the sermon. They're the ones that come to critique the sermon. They're going to find every little thing that is wrong with the sermon and tear them down and all the rest. Bible says it's supposed to build up the preacher, make him feel good about things. I don't mean lying about it. I said to go, if you can't something say something good, just keep your mouth shut. Amen. But they come, you know, a holier than thou attitude, you know, and boy, wow. They don't get anything out of the sermon because they think they're elevated over the preacher. They're too spiritual. You see, a lot of popes, that kind of attitude, they just tolerate me. They just tolerate me. Any of you that sat under my ministry for a while, you know I say some wild things, amen. I see some things that'll make you curl your toes, amen. Because the truth just comes out. Did he really say that? You just tolerate me. But you're wasting the sermon. You didn't get it. And your life doesn't change. That's the problem. I've no good old Jim. How many years, Jim? 35, 40 years, amen. Old biker getting in accidents way back then, too. He got saved, amen. So we've known, but he's here even in a wheelchair. Amen. Praise God. A wasted sermon. Grow. Let God work within your life. The eighth thing. Some come to the sermon, what can make a wasted sermon? You're too full of other things. Your life is so full of all of these other things you think are so important, and you don't heed the sermon. You don't look at the verses. You don't let God. You're not open to it. You're resisting it. How you're going to have a changed life? Whenever are you going to grow up? We have plenty of 50, 60-year-old Christians acting like children, still doing the same things they did way back then. Isaiah chapter 44, if you want to look. Isaiah chapter 44. I'm hurrying as quick as I can. It's all that guest preacher's fault. Isaiah 44 and verse 20. Verse 20, he said, "He feedeth on ashes. A deceived heart hath turned him aside, that he cannot deliver his soul, nor say, is there not a lie in my right hand?" Too full of other things. Word of God, just like ashes do you. Not the richness and the love and the power of the word evident within your life. How could that ever happen in my life? People knew me for what I was before I got saved. And in just 9 years, God called me into the ministry to start preaching. God had exposed me to the truth so much, I got a Bible education just going to church. Past the ordination service and everything else going on. I'm saying that's all glory to God that he would work through. I can't imagine. I don't know why. I'm just telling you what happened in my life. I was there. I should know. Concentrated. I was trying to be faithful to God. The ninth thing. Sometimes people aren't even saved. People come to church. They're not even saved. Wow. I've known a lot of Christians over that time period, a year. Been saved more than 50 years. So, they hear the same sermon I do. How come they're still doing those same wicked things in their life? There's no change at all. Brother, if there isn't fruit, the tree's dead. Okay? Jesus said, cut it down. There's no fruit in that tree. That's another way you can waste a sermon. The tenth thing is that you only come to church for a friend or yourself. Oh, I go to church and meet my friends and everything. I'm not against fellowship. You know that. We do plenty of that. That's not why you come to church. The Word of God should be tantamount in your life. Where am I going to hear the Word of God without compromise? Just not using a shotgun on me, but using a rifle on me. It's going to hit me right in the heart. Use that word of God. That should be, you know, a lot of people go around looking for churches. And you know what's in their heart? I'm just looking for a church where I'm comfortable. You ever heard that? I got news for you. This church, you're not going to be comfortable. Amen. God's put it in my heart to make you uncomfortable. Amen. The word of God, rebuke. Nobody likes to rebuke. Be told they're wrong. They need to change. They need to repent. That's the kind of church you need to look for if you're looking for a church. Amen. Like I say, if you even stay away from church, you're certainly going to waste the sermon because you're not there. The Word of God cannot make you spiritual. That's the last thing. I wish I could get saved for people. I'd do it in a heartbeat, but I can't. They have to open their heart and their mind to the Lord Jesus Christ and trust Him. I can't do it for them. And I can't do it for Christians either to grow and have their life changed. I can't force you. I'm not Joe Biden, okay? Gotta force everybody to get a vaccine and on and on and on it goes. I've got a message coming up what the Bible says about socialism. Amen. It's on the back burner, it's coming. What the Bible actually teaches about that. Like I said, you're never gonna get away from politics. No, not in the Old Testament or the New Testament or in this age or any age. It's always going to be around, okay? So you might as well get it straight. What's the Bible say about it? That's the important thing. God wants to change you. I hope you don't waste this sermon. I hope your attitude's right. Hope your spirit's right. To receive the Word of God, the engrafted Word of God. Let it be engrafted into you. God's told me to preach the sermon to you this morning. Only God knows what it's going to do in your life. I pray that you'll allow God to do the work. Heavenly Father, thank you for the way for this morning, Lord, and the way the Holy Spirit is have moved in and through our service. With the testimony, the singing, everything that's gone on, and then the preaching. Lord, I've said things that I haven't intended to say, but you brought them out. You know how it is with me, Lord. If you bring it up, I'll bring it out. So I pray, Lord, that each one of us might humble ourselves before the Almighty God. And Lord, that we might obey you and allow you to change our lives, the schedule of our lives, the importance of our lives. Thank you for being the great God that has patience with us. Long-suffering God. We love you, Lord. Help us to love you more. In Jesus' name, amen. Take your hymn books, please. Number 316. Let this be a special day to you. Let this invitation be a special invitation for you. If you've got something in your life and in your heart you need to get right with God before you leave the house of God, I invite you to come to the altar and get it right. That'll do you a world of good. Don't waste the sermon you've just heard. Let's all stand as we sing number 316. If you need to come, come now. All to Jesus I surrender, all to Him I freely give. I will ever love and trust Him, in His presence daily live. I surrender all, I surrender all to Thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender all. On the last. All to Jesus I surrender, Lord. I give myself to Thee. Fill me with Thy let thy blessing fall on me. I surrender all. I surrender all to thee, my blessed Savior. I surrender all. Amen.
Amen.
Hope you didn't waste anything. Hope you had the right attitude, received the word of God in the spirit it was given. Amen. Randy's with us. Not going to waste a prayer either. So I'm going to ask Randy to pray for us as we leave.
Our Heavenly Father, I needed to hear this message this morning. We all needed to hear this message. And Father, I'm amazed at how you work through Pastor, through other people. We never know, Lord, what's going on in lives and hearts, but you know. And Father, thank you for allowing me to be well enough to be able to come this morning and miss this church. But Lord, you know what you're doing. And Lord, we just have to put faith in you. And Lord, it's pretty quiet in here this morning, Lord, as Pastor preached. And I hope people were listening. I hope they were not listening or wasting this message, myself included, Lord. May you bless us as we go. Thank you, and I hope that each and every one of us love you as much as you love us. And I ask in Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. God bless your fellowship together, won't you please?